Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Final hour for us. Forgot to say this at noon. We were too busy talking about the love train. You're more than halfway to the weekend.
Yeah, dog.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man.
It's all downhill from here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great weekend, too. A lot of fun college football games on Saturday. Most notably, Georgia at Alabama, 7:30 kickoff. Game day is going to be there. Dave Archer is going to be on the radio call, if you can listen to it on the radio. And then, of course, incredibly fun games on Sunday in the NFL, as always, and the Falcons. Welcome the Saints to town. A chance to get back to 500.
Peeking through.
Or the other side of it.
It's
which
a big game, man.
So we'll say get back to 500. Yeah, and it's probably going to rain a lot. So get your raincoat. Yeah, it's sunny here in Midtown right now.
Yeah, man. But, yo, they're going to have to put on their big boy pads, man. They're going to have to put on their big boy pads. Talking about the Falcons, both lines of scrimmage, because they are a physical football team. And just like, how the Falcons want to be able to run the football, that's what they want to do to make Derek Carr, more comfortable in what he likes to do best, and that's play action pass. So it's gonna be a slobber knocker. They gotta possess the ball. We'll say it today. We'll say it tomorrow. We'll do our keys Friday. They got to possess the ball more.
Are the Falcons equipped to win a slobber knocker?
We will see.
Yeah,
because they didn't win the last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or yeah, because that certainly was week one.
Yes.
And that was one, and that didn't go great. The Chiefs kind of did that on Sunday, too, because they ran the ball a ton to keep their drives alive, and they used those three great offensive linemen that they have to really wear the Falcons down. And, I mean, that was, for a game that quarterbacks are going to be the story and all that kind of stuff, that game against the Chiefs, what, it combined for less than 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
That was a slobber knocker, too. I mean, they ran the ball really well. So, two offensive linemen, potentially, certainly one offensive lineman out. I know the Saints have one out, too. This feels like early in the year you kind of look at the Falcons and it's like, all right, well, this is the type of game we'd like to play against them. I don't know if they're winning this type of game. Now, the Falcons could try to not make it that type of game. Obviously, they could try to dictate offensively and get their pass game going a little bit more and sustain some drives and all of that. Hopefully, that's what they do. But, if that's the goal for the Saints, I don't know. That feels like a long day for the Falcons.
Could be. Well, I mean, we talked about, on Monday, you didn't hear the defense. I mean, you might have made a play or two, but you didn't hear a lot from Grady.
No.
And they were double-teaming the hell out of him with three of the best interior dudes on a team in the NFL. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot like that. And you got to get a turnover. Let's take the ball away again. Mm-hmm. Let's find a way if your offense to not turn the ball over and sustain drives. And if points are there, damn it, take them.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Take the points. Andy Reid took the points on Sunday. They kicked three field goals.
One more time.
They were down by a few, and then they kicked a few field goals, and then they were up by a few.
One more time.
Because if you do a number of them, they add up.
They add up.
I mean, I know one of them isn't worth the same amount as a touchdown, but two of them is.
Yeah. And then their kicker missed the damn
thing. Yeah, they missed extra point. And then three of them, that's nine. That's damn near 10. Mm. That's double digits.
That's,
yeah, I know. I know. But we're idiots, though.
That's all right.
We're dumb. We're dumb.
Been called worse.
Because math is hard, I guess.
Been called
not,
worse.
I guess. Anyway, Mark Schlereth is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on that one. We always talk with our NFL insider from Odyssey at 1:20 on Wednesdays, and we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well.
Okay, so I was like, because, we get more updates on our phones from school, just everything, man. And so the weather update and, nothing. But they might cancel class or something.
There's reports that they may Friday.
If there's any time we need to do digital learning or make changes to extracurricular activity, they can do that. Because, I mean, they have fall break next week.
Yeah, so Cobb County is on fall break now, or at least our part of it is. I don't know if the whole thing is the same. But now that she's in pre-K, we're on the Cobb County public school schedule. So 4-year-olds get a break.
Yeah, man.
She needed one.
Yeah, I mean, stressful.
All that macaroni art was wearing her out, man.
Oh, Jesus. I'm tired.
And then every day she wakes up, she's like, do I got to go to school today? It's like, no, you don't. She's like, oh, great.
Like,
But don't get used to it, though, because you're going back next week. I don't need Monday to be some nightmare because you got a week off and you got used to it. Any change in schedule for a 4-year-old throws everything off for days.
Yeah, because she's going to get she's with grandma, right?
She's with Ashley took a day.
Oh, Ashley, okay. Oh, she's she's mommy. It's on.
Yeah, so she's in heaven.
Yeah, she's
on. It's great.
Yeah, she's spoiled rotten today.
Yeah, she's having a great time.
Yeah, but, I mean, we talk about breaks all the time, digital learning, all that other stuff. Fine. But I need them grades to be where they need to be at. Like, because if you can tell me to tell me that them 3 days that he got off next week for fall break, he could have been learning. You know what I mean? Because I mean, yeah, we already know they going. They going to the beach. I'm like, I have fun. Are you coming down Friday? Probably not. Enjoy yourself.
All right, final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Yeah. Bow!
Out to left field, pretty deep. That's going to keep going, and it's going to get out of here. Michael Harris, a single, a double, and now a homer, and it's only the fourth inning.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Harris and Schwellenbach, I know other people helped too, but
they beat the most.
They beat the Mets by themselves last night. Schwellenbach goes seven, gives up one, just that solo home run in the seventh inning. He's been great against mostly everybody. He's been even better against good teams, and he's been incredible against the Mets. That's now 14 innings against that team and only one earned run. Michael Harris getting hot at the absolute right time.
Yeah.
He's over 500 for the last week. Him and Shohei are the two best hitters in baseball the last 2 weeks. Homer last night, like you just heard there, two RBIs, and an incredible play in center field as well. Yes. So he was doing it all. Exactly what we asked for going into the series was starting pitchers have to continue to be elite, because they have been, and that's why you're even here. And then the guys that are legitimately good in the lineup, like Harris and Albies and Ozuna had a homer last night too, also have to be great. And if you get that, you could certainly beat the Mets.
You can certainly beat them, and you can do some things, because we've seen this team that we love here in Atlanta get done by teams that are clicking at the right time. We've seen it. And it wasn't a star-studded type lineup like the Braves had. It was three or four guys at the top of the order. The pitching was
well.
What you need. And they won. And they beat the Braves. And so can the Braves find a way? Michael Harris is playing out of his mind. And we talked about Ozuna. He's been great all year. Matt Olson's he's hit or miss, but he's more hit now.
He's been incredible for 2 months.
Exactly. He hit or miss, but he's doing his thing. We talk about Soler. Maybe you get an appearance from Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, d'Arnaud had a moment. Yeah. And he's kind of falling off a little bit.
And then Ozzie's back.
But he's a good catcher.
And then Ozzie's back. So, I mean, you got kind of what you need to click up and make a nice run.
Yeah, no, you got a top of a lineup now that Ozzie's back and Harris is healthy and doing what he's doing. You got to have a top of a lineup that can win you a playoff series if you're pitches well. Again, it wasn't that long ago that you were – I mean, you just look at this lineup and pray.
Right.
Now, you got five guys in Harris – Albies, Ozuna, Olson, and Soler. Again, when those guys are hitting, that's as good of a top of a lineup as anybody has. Riley's not coming back, so that is what it is.
Yes.
Obviously, Acuna's been hurt the entire season. The bottom of the lineup's not good, and that's why the top has to do what they did. You had 10 hits yesterday. Seven of them came from the top five guys.
Yes.
That's what it has to be. They have to be 75% of your offense. If the bottom of the lineup can... Like, Laureano had the little fister to right field, and he got an RBI. It was great. Like, if you can get one of those little bloopers from Laureano, d'Arnaud, Urshela, Arcia, Murphy, if he's playing, whatever. Yeah, like, if they can contribute a run, awesome. But the guys at the top of the lineup have to be great, and you need to get some good defense as well. Obviously, you got that from Harris last night. Arcia, if you're not going to hit,
you cannot be
you got to make up for it in the field.
That was a hell of a play he made off the glove. When Schwelly comes off the glove, he barehands it. Great play by him. But there was a couple of them, and he got close to it, got up on him real quick, and he bobbled. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about being ashamed of yourself. Like, the greatest, I think, I'm assuming the number one play yesterday had to be the triple play by the damn Padres
to win the game
and clinch the playoff spot. Who the hell was that running the first? All right. Because Manny Machado got the ball, ran to third. He didn't touch third.
Right, he wasn't right there.
And bam, bam.
Now, Machado has one of the best arms in baseball.
He does.
So that thing's coming 98 miles an hour to second base. Great turn by the second baseman. But, yeah.
You got to go.
Who's running first?
He's got to get there, man. He's got to get there. I mean, that was my biggest takeaway. He got to get there. I don't care. But, we don't know what it's going to look like today. Weather is cleared up. I don't know. It's supposed to get worse. Say about 3 o'clock is when it's supposed to come down. So hopefully, you know, there's nothing that would pause this game and have it to be replayed another day, because tomorrow it don't seem like nothing's happening tomorrow. You want to come to work tomorrow?
I think we have to.
Oh, okay.
Do we get rained out at work?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of fun. No, we don't get as many breaks as the kids do. We don't get to do digital. Not anymore. We did digital learning for a year and a half.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, it seems likely that today's game will be rained out. Tomorrow's game almost certainly going to be rained out. We were wondering earlier if they knew that was going to happen, just play early today. Play now. It's not raining now.
Yeah.
Try to get this game in. I know that the logistics of that, I guess, are tough because people work at the stadium and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. They knew a couple days ago this was going to happen. Anyway, they didn't do it. So today probably rained out. Tomorrow most likely rained out. Then you move it to Monday and have the doubleheader. Let's do silver lining instead of negative. Say the Braves and the Mets both take care of business this weekend. Braves have the Royals in town and the Mets go up to Milwaukee. Monday's a doubleheader for everything.
Ugh.
That's pretty fun.
That's going to be outstanding.
That's pretty fun. Like that, you know, as much as it would be better if they could play today and the Braves win and they play tomorrow and the Braves win, that would be better. And it doesn't throw off schedules.
They need to take care of business today.
Don't have to renegotiate. Well,
I'm sorry. They need to take care of business this weekend.
Don't
have what you're saying, that scenario that's cool as hell,
yeah.
And then you trick it off against the damn Royals, and it don't matter what you do.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then you just have the saddest doubleheader of all time.
The saddest doubleheader ever.
And make a liar out of us, because we were telling everybody, they might probably make a liar out of us anyway, we were telling everybody that family four-pack of tickets we gave away last week was going to be the final game of the season.
Yeah, man. We don't want that. We want to be liars.
Monday's probably going to be the final two games of the season.
Yeah, we want to be liars. Do you think never mind. I was about to say, do you think we can do a remote over there? But I know we can.
No, probably not. But if they're on while we're on, we can give you updates.
Yeah. Well, not delayed play by updates. Play, delayed updates. Yeah. Learned that the hard way. got a sternly worded email.
Did you?
No.
No. You still do it every time the game's on at 1 o'clock. It's like, oh, Randy's watching the Braves game.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you what's trending.
Have you ever, I don't want no sternly worded email, because I mean, I'm pretty sure they get sternly worded emails about us, but yeah,
I don't want any worded emails.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
I just want the daily inspiration from our boss. You want to be inspired,
dude? I'm telling you, I don't check my email. I don't check my email unless y'all say something to check.
There are two primary choices in life: to accept conditions as they exist,
correct,
or accept responsibility for changing them.
What does it say at the end of it?
That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
And then that's our boss.
Okay.
Someone named Dennis Waitley said that.
That's what I said. Who said it?
Do you know who Dennis Waitley is?
Yeah.
Me too.
I've read quite a number of his quotes.
Inspirational quotes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. So now you're inspired, and we are too. Mark Schlereth is going to join us next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get his thoughts on what went down with the Falcons and the Chiefs on Sunday. Look ahead to the Falcons and the Saints, of course. Some of the other big stories in the NFL as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, we'll get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at Man Cave Store. 120 on Wednesdays. Mean Mark Schlereth joins the show, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. And as always, insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I mean, obviously still reacting to and have been reacting to the way that the Sunday night football game ended between the Falcons and the Chiefs. Interested to get your thoughts on that final drive for the Falcons and some of those final short yardage plays.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the PI in the back of the end zone that wasn't called is, you know, that's a problem.
Right.
And, you know, but what are you going to do? It's the Chiefs, right? They get that every week, it seems like. So, and is that sour grapes? Yeah, it probably is. I mean, I'm a Denver guy, right? And it irritates me. And you know, when I hear people talk about, well, the Chiefs get penalized, not in critical moments, it doesn't seem to happen. So, I don't know. Let's do that. Let's do that analysis. But, you know, that's sour grapes because I don't like the Chiefs. So, so there is that aspect of it. I absolutely hated the fourth down and one call. Hated it. And I'll give you a couple for instances. Just this is one guy's perspective who's been in a bunch of fourth down and ones over the course of his career. One, I hate being in split backs.
Mm-hmm.
Split backs ends up you lose your ability to attack the line of scrimmage downhill. So you're attacking the line of scrimmage east and west, not downhill north and south. So it's much harder to me when you see a lane to put your foot in the ground and get into that lane because you're busy going east and west across the quarterback. So I hated that call. I hated being in split backs. I think that's the wrong call. Also hated the width of the play call because anytime you're running some wide zone stuff, you're susceptible to run through stuff. Mm-hmm. So wide zone, I don't like going wide. I hate being in split backs. I hate the east-west nature to that play call. And then obviously exactly what I just told you, a linebacker, I think it was Bolton, that shot through that gap and hit you in the backfield before your running back can even – you can't even square up on the guy. So, like, if you're coming downhill from I, at least you can square up on the guy and try to run his ass over. But when you're going east and west, you don't have any – you're not based in a power platform as a running back. So, hated everything about that play. It's one of those things that as – always bothers me as a former offensive lineman. I don't know why coaches call that stuff, but you know, that's the play they went with, and that's the result they got. But I would hope they would learn from that. But you know, at this point, it's too late. I mean, it already cost you. You know, hopefully going forward, you don't do it. But you lost the game, and that play is a big reason you lost the game.
I know we've had plenty of football guys on and talk about the reason in this new age of football. Where leaving points on the field is just—it's one of those things where I don't know who what the card says or the paper or what, but what is it in your opinion? Because I never got your thought process on why coaches leave points on the field. I mean, it's okay to punt, it's okay to take a field goal. Why do you think this realm is going on now?
Well, because you have people that are people that don't know anything about football that are advising you on what to do on a football field. And like, listen, man, I hate analytics. I hate the number crunchers. I hate all that crap because most of it is baloney. And I don't know how we've gotten to the point. It's like baseball. How does baseball get to the point where people that don't know anything about baseball decide who's going to go in and pitch and who's not? Like, how do we let that happen? I don't understand. Like, for instance, like people, I will have analytics people argue that you should go for 2 points every time, 2 point conversions, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to, I don't know what the analytics behind that is. But I always ask people, well, how many 2 point conversion plays do you think we go into a game plan with?
Right.
Two, maybe, right?
I don't know.
Like
right.
Two?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And if you don't, exactly.
you have one that you really like. And one that you kind of like. That's it. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think we practice it during the week? There is a five play period of goal line on Fridays, mm-hmm, when you're in hats and t-shirts. That's the only time we practice goal line. So that's the only time we practice the 2 point conversion play. So we have one rep maybe at the 2 point conversion play in shorts and t-shirts. And yet the morons that run the analytics department think we should run it every time.
Absolutely correct.
And so, and then you get into, you know, hey, we should go for it on fourth down and one here instead of kicking a field goal. Like, you know, hey, we run it to the left-hand side. You know, we average, you know, 0.68 yards per carry more on that side. So let's run it to the left. Hey, yeah, so Aaron Donald lines up over there, moron. So what's next? Like, what do you want to do next? But, like, if I had to block the three technique in the entirety of the game, what makes you think on fourth down and one with the game on the line that all of a sudden I'm going to block that sumbitch? Like, I don't – it is so mind-numbingly stupid to me. And yet, you know, we fall victim to it because, I don't know, because what, it's good information? Listen, if you guys figured out, please call me and let me know what I'm missing, because I think it's absolutely insane.
With you.
We're going to talk every Wednesday this season.
Yeah.
When we figure it out, we're going to let you know. you bring up so many important points of these are human beings, and every single game is different. Every Sunday is different. Every situation is different. And all this stuff accounts for these huge amounts of data that don't take into account these tiny little instances. And I don't know. I'm with you. It's very frustrating. I love the big picture question of how did we allow it to get to this point? I really don't know. But maybe we'll figure it out by the end of the year. Let me ask you just a three-game snapshot on the Falcons. Obviously, they're 1-2. That's not where they want to be. They need to beat the Saints on Sunday to avoid being 1-3 and losing a game in the division and 0-3 at home and all that. What do you think of this team through three games?
Well, I mean, I think they've got unbelievable potential. I think that game one, when Kirk Cousins had one snap under center, like, I think he's still, working through the Achilles. I thought the game against Philly, especially that final drive, was exceptional. But of course, that final drive, there's another analytics. Like, I don't understand. Hey, what we've done has been so successful throughout the entirety of the game. You know what we should do? Change it. Mm. That's another one. Like, and plus, I watched Vic Fangio in Denver for 3 years do the same damn thing and lose games on, last drive. So, good for you guys. I don't understand that kind of aspect either. But I've seen Kirk make strides and play better. So I think all those things, you're sitting at 1-3, but I look at that division beyond – Tampa's got a lead on you right now, and obviously New Orleans, they're both tied. But I see three teams that are fairly similarly, built structure-wise, and I see one team that's sitting at 1-3 behind those two teams in Atlanta that has not nearly gotten their best quarterback play yet. And as that increases and as Kirk becomes more comfortable and he becomes more comfortable in that offense, I think you're going to see that offense start to take off. And so I still, I picked them to win the division before the season. And then I did the New Orleans game week one, and I saw how good New Orleans actually is. That's a tough battle. I still think that ultimately Atlanta's better than Tampa. I think it's going to be a really tightly contested battle all the way down the stretch with New Orleans.
Hey, and I remember we talked to you about the New Orleans game. You're talking about they don't have any canned calls. They have a lot of more run it calls and everything like that. What was the process of last week as far as the game between Philadelphia and New Orleans?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, that was a tight game. It was 15-12. They ended up losing that game. They gave up a bunch of big runs to Saquon Barkley, which was really the difference ultimately in that game. So that to me was kind of the big thing that went down. So anyhow, but with that said, I think you look at what Philly was able to do. They shut down for the first time the run game of New Orleans. Now, New Orleans lost their center, who's a really good player, in McCoy. Those two behemoths inside, essentially for the first time all season long, really dominated the line of scrimmage. They just could not get the run game going. And, that run game has been what has set up everything over the top that, Derek Carr has been so good at. So that was the biggest kind of turnaround for me is Kamara and that run game kind of got shut down, and that eliminated all the play action stuff and all the things they had done really well up to that point.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I know it's early, it's 3 weeks, but who's the team so far this season that has impressed you the most?
Well, I think the Buffalo Bills have been unbelievable. It's always so funny to me, like, for instance, Chicago. All I heard all season or all off season was, man, Chicago, all the weapons they have. They drafted Adunze after they got Caleb. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got DJ Moore. They've got Cole Kmet tied in. They went out and got Swift. Like, they're going to be unstoppable. Their offense is going to be so great. And I just kept saying to people, you know, the Chicago fans of the world go, you still got to block people. You guys do realize that, right? Like, I don't care how many weapons you have. If you can't block people, those weapons are rendered useless. You know? I mean, that's what we talk about. But, you know, nobody wants to recognize that. And so, you know, where do they sit right now? I think Buffalo is interesting to me because they ate $31 million to get rid of one of the best weapons in football, in Stephon Diggs. And they just said, that dude, like, the squeeze ain't worth the juice anymore. Like, we are just tired of his crap. And I don't know if you guys heard Josh Allen come out yesterday yep. in his press conference and said, man, it is so good, like, not to have to worry about, you know, guys complaining about statistics. Guys just want to go out there and play and win. And it's music to my ears because it's about sacrificing. It's about playing for one another. It's about, you know, it's about what it takes to be a great team. And, you know, the whole team concept is unbelievable. Today on Breakfast Ball, I mentioned that in the Bible, the term leadership appears six times. Six times in the Bible, leadership or leader appears in the Bible. The word servant appears in the Bible 900 times. You want to be a great team? Learn how to serve one another. Mm-hmm. Want to be a great team? Learn how to be unselfish. Want to be a great team? Learn how to set your teammate up. Want to be a great team? Celebrate somebody else's success like it's your own success. That's how you win championships. That's about being a great team. It's not about putting up stats. And, you know, and I tell you what, I have the experience and, you know, I've been blessed to be on three world championship teams. And I tell you what, every one of those teams was similar in this. Every guy cared more about the team and doing what it took to win than they cared about individual accolades or statistics. And that's 100% true. And that's why championships, in my mind, are so hard to win. Because it's really hard to put 53 guys and 20 coaches together who care more about each other than they care about themselves.
Mark, great stuff.
Woo!
We appreciate
Let's go,
it. I know.
Man.
Come on.
Oh, I can't roll.
That's a halftime.
Hey, my body hurting. I'm about like you, Stank. I ain't having as many surgeries as you. But it's about to rain down here in Atlanta, and I'm aching right now.
Yeah, it'll get you. That's for sure.
Oh man, thank you so much. That
appreciate
was awesome.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. All right, take care.
Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL Insider. That call was brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mark's also the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Speaking of Hellman's, may your game day be delicious every
make
single
me a
weekend.
Good old sandwich because she got a but she bought a fresh jar of Hellman's.
Really?
Yeah, man.
What a coincidence!
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Just trying to, you know, do my part.
Yeah. Just a little product placement. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Anything you want to know, ask us. We'll answer to the best of our abilities. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. I knew this was going to happen, but I'm happy to say that it has happened. Like, that Mark Schlereth interview every Wednesday is becoming such a fun part of the week.
Yeah, man.
Like, we've had NFL insiders before, and they've all been really great. I always love talking to Baldy and all that, but the Mark Schlereth Wednesdays turned into
he don't give a damn. That's why.
Awesome.
He just says what he wants to say.
No.
He don't care.
It is. I'm not, you know me, I'm not huge on name calling.
Uh-huh.
They're calling us morons for not liking the analytics, and he's calling them morons for liking the analytics. Yeah. Everybody's just calling each other morons.
You can't call me a moron, dude, because the way we grew up before y'all is what people want. People don't need damn analytics. They suck, Andy.
Know.
You know why they suck?
I know,
because they suck because they're given to you by a person who ain't never had their ass hit.
I know, but he makes such a good point, though, about – how did we let it happen?
Yes.
Like I agree with you. I agree that it has infiltrated sports and made sports slightly less, across the board, slightly less what we loved about it growing up. Yet and still it is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there's nothing, it's beyond sports, honestly. But Anyway, Drew's in Atlanta. What's up, Drew?
Hey, fellas. Quick question. So, did you guys know about young Acuna? Is he Thanasis, or is he going to be good? And am I going to have to watch him rake on the Mets for the rest of my life? Thank you, guys.
Drew.
I saw him hit a home run last week. I saw the clip. I didn't actually see him hit it. I saw the clip of him hit the home run last week. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I knew he had a young brother. I didn't realize he was at the show.
He's not going to be Acuna good, but he's going to be a good player. We talked about it yesterday, mm-hmm. how with Lindor out, he's been filling in for him. He's been doing a really nice job. He's gonna be around.
He's gonna be around, but I didn't realize he was at the show already. When I saw him hit the run, I was like, "Oh damn, Ronald Acuña's brother hit a home run."
That highlight of Harris robbing the hit that he had in center field.
Yes,
and he goes, "Harris robs Acuña." If you had just played me that clip at the beginning of the year,
what the hell happened?
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Who
happened?
Got traded? I guess if Gaudin's excited about it, Harris must be a Brave. Why is Ronald Acuña on a different team?
Yep.
What happened? No. It's his brother. He's little compared. He's littler than Ronald.
Yes, he is.
He's like Ozzy size.
No, I don't think he's that small.
Maybe that's why Ron likes Ozzy so much.
He reminds
me of his little brother. Maybe not quite that small, but he's a little fella. They were doing the jersey swap pregame yesterday. But yeah, I don't know. Seems like he might be a
pretty
good player.
They were doing the jersey swap with the same last name on the jersey.
Yeah, and then he was in the dugout just heckling him. He made an error in the first inning. He's screaming at him. It's awesome. All right. Rich is in Alpharetta. What's up, Rich?
What's going on, guys? Love the show.
Love you, Rich.
So I saw something on Instagram the other day. It's a statement question. So I think as a dad, you need to stay in shape to a certain point just in case your young lad grow up and try you. I saw this father on Instagram. Yeah, I saw this father on Instagram. Like his son was calling his mom the F word, disrespecting his grandmother, beating up his sisters. His dad was like, "Look, man, I done warned you a couple of times. Now I'm hearing you saying you want to fight me." His dad whooped his ass like he ain't know him from nowhere.
Right.
And then helped him up off the ground and said, "I hope you learned your lesson." Are you guys team put pause on him or tell him he got to leave since he want to be a grown man?
Oh, I'm going to do both. I'm going to whip your ass then throw you out. You know, but the thing about it is, like, I don't worry about my sons trying to try me. Like, the only one that might try me is Sebastian. And because, you know, because he has all of me in him.
Right.
Everything that you take and put into a two-year-old body, he has it. And it's already so obvious. But other than that, I wish Isaiah Sean or Samson would try this one. Because I will beat their ass.
I wish they wouldn't. And I hope they never do.
And I don't think throw them out the
And
house.
I don't think they will.
They would not.
And I think there's a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not trying to criticize anyone's parenting style, but, like, I feel like a lot of stuff might have been missed leading up to that ass whooping. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like for him to be MFing his grandma and his mom
He's done that before.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But maybe there was a conversation along the way or multiple moments of discipline along the way.
Right.
Because you don't just get to that.
You don't go from just being a good kid
every single day to all of a sudden I'm going to fight my dad and cuss out my grandma.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to do all the stuff before then.
Right.
But if that were to happen, I guess I have to beat up. I don't want to beat up Jack.
No.
I don't have to do that.
You don't ever want
to
beat up.
You don't want to do it. But if, I mean, I guess if he's cussing out my mom.
I'm about
and, like,
to beat you
up.
Like, I ain't never had to be challenged by my mom. Like, I ain't never, I've only done it once or I think one time where I swelled up at my mom. And that was the worst thing I ever did. Angel put them paws on me.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
She took that opportunity to deal with that situation.
Yeah.
I just feel like.
Yeah. I swelled up at mom one time and she's, boy. My damn ear still ring. Because I'm bigger, I'm more athletic, and I did not see that slap coming.
That never happened with me and my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I never got to that point where I was like, whatever. Because there was a lot of excellent parenting that happened along the way that never led to that situation. So, I don't know. My hope is preventative instead of reactionary.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I know what
you're saying. Try to prevent it. Joel is in Dallas. What's up, Joel?
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
Andy, happy birthday to you, bro. I'm 40. I just turned 45 this year, but you got to remember something. You always get better with age. That's all I got to say.
Damn right.
Thank you, Joel.
Damn right, Joel.
It's been true so far.
If I would have said MS to my grandma and parents, I wouldn't be talking to y'all right now. I would have been laid out.
Yeah.
But
all right, Joel.
Pause.
The question that I got for you guys is in y'all's years, what is the most influential person, teacher, or coach that has been in your life?
I mean, person?
Person? I mean, my mother.
Yeah,
mom. I'll always say my mom because I saw what my mom did for me to get to the steps of me becoming a man. Like, I guess there's so many different things I take from different coaches. You know, I'm so appreciative to all of them. I owe a lot to Coach Rodney Walker, of course. But if it wasn't for Coach Lamb coming to see Coach Walker to see my tape, I probably not got to Georgia. Thank you to Jim Donnan. Whenever somebody asks about the coaches, you know, who I learned from a lot of them. And I appreciate all of them. But, yeah, my mother.
Yeah. I mean, if there's – I'm choosing one.
Yeah.
And that's not to disrespect my dad or anything like that. But my folks got divorced when I was little. I lived with my mom the majority of the time. My dad did an excellent job as a dad. But – every other weekend sucks. It's hard. Yep. It's a hard thing. You just don't get to be with them as often, and you don't get to have quite the same, I don't know, what influence isn't the right word, because my dad had a great influence, but it's just not the same
when
you're there every single day, which I was with my mom. Plus, I had to see some of what my mom went through and dealt with other relationships as well. So her, for sure. But my dad was also fantastic, and grandparents, and there's so many good people in my life. But if I'm only choosing one, I'm choosing her. That's why we start our shows with them every single day. John is in Union City. Hey, John.
Man, y'all got me fired up about that dad taking care of that son.
Yeah.
Man, look here. I remember what George Wallace used to say. You mess around here, get smart, take them down to the cemetery and show them the family plot and let them know you can use it now or you can use it later.
Hell yeah.
But I ain't going to have that damn mess coming up. Man, again. But what I wanted to say, hey, I'm tired of these Atlanta Falcons putting pickup trucks on the offensive line up against tractor trailers, dump trucks, and garbage trucks. All right, when are we going to get rid of this zone blocking scheme, or how do you feel about this zone blocking scheme versus mono a mono diesel truck versus diesel truck?
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Everybody runs a zone scheme. It's a staple. It's an easier scheme to run because it gives, you know, you're really blocking an area, and if the man is in the area, you block him. But, yeah, that's how I view him. Like,
is the Falcons' offensive line small?
No. I think so. I think John is, like, talking about he's just moving a man against their will.
Yeah.
It's just different. A lot of teams run zone schemes nowadays. This offense is geared off of it. Everything about this offense starts with that play.
Final one here. Corey is in Griffin.
Hey, happy belated birthday, Andy.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate that.
But my question is, what about I'm on these yams, man. We ain't been talking about the yams in a long time. And what's up with a yams food truck? Like the Hooters, we got a yams food truck. Are y'all down with that?
What are we just selling yams?
What are we selling, yams? Or there's going to be the yams
hamburgers,
out there?
Hamburgers.
Oh.
We can sell hamburgers. Like Hooters got the wings. We sell the hamburgers. Of course, you got the buns. And then for dessert, you got the yam cake. You got a slice that's a cheek, like, or two slices, two butt cheeks. And then you got a whole... But
okay.
Don't yammy cake.
We got it. All right. Corey's got a whole business plan.
Corey has a whole business plan.
But basically, all right. So he's saying you got Hooters selling wings. You got, you know, obviously they're, you know.
Yeah.
You know what Hooters is about. Yeah. So he's talking about a business. It's about the other part.
I'm fine with me.
Sure.
That's fine with me. I told you that damn underground Hooters, it wasn't Hooters.
That was the yams.
That was the yams.
I will say that.
I will say that.
You are right. We have talked less about yams. We'll try to do better. We got a little. Like a little, if you see it, you're a true diehard when you see that Hawks commercial that we shot.
Yes.
Just a little shout out to the true diehards. If you see it in there, you're going to get it and you're going to laugh very hard. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day, every day to wrap up the show.
The drought is over. The Braves found the hole.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Randy hasn't ridden a lot of trains.
No.
Not a train guy.
Yeah, I got this one. I rolled with it. Yeah. Braves haven't been finding holes for months.
Yeah.
But they're starting to now.
Yeah.
Got to find them.
Oh, dear. Where are they at? They're up at Flowery Branch.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll check in with Dukes and Bell next up, live from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.